Well, hello, everybody, and welcome. We are Lizzie and Justin from Third Space, and this is Turning Towards Life, and you are all so welcome to be with us. Hello, Lizzie. It's really, really lovely to see you. Very excited for this conversation today. And whenever on wherever you're listening, on podcasts or watching on YouTube or on our turningtowards.life website, you're so welcome to be with us. And we will today, in a moment, do what we do every week, which is that, Lizzie, you have brought us a source, like a wellspring of words, which we'll read, I'll read and you'll read, and then we'll enter into a who knows what arising conversation for half an hour about. And this is the practice that we have been doing now. This is our 410th week. And we have been saying, Lizzie, for a long time, how surprising this is in a way, and perhaps not surprising, that the practice of having really good source material, and then you and your life and me and my life, and then practicing being as open and as attentive and allowing for our own responses to arise in us and then be spoken to one another, has proven to be an enormously life-giving and deepening practice for both of us. And we know that that's true for so many people, so many of you who are around us, which is why you join and listen. And that gives me an opportunity to say that we're recording this in middle of August 2025. On September the 17th, I just looked that up and it may be the 16th, but anyway, that week of September 2025, we are beginning a way of opening this practice to include any of you who are listening, and others if you wish to come. It's called Turning Towards Life Live. Seasonal circles of practice and reflection and deepening is the idea. We'll meet once a month for a few hours, evening time UK, and you'll get a chance to be alongside Lizzie, you and I, as we talk and reflect about a source, and then you'll get to practice with one another, being in conversation with a source of your own. And we expect it to be very rich, deepening, and also community making experience. It lasts for 6 months. You join at the start and stay with us for the whole 6 months, and then there'll be another 6 months and another 6 months. So we're only a month or so away from that. So I wanted to mention it again, and to say you can find out about it at turningtowards.life/live, or just go to the turningtowards.life website, where you can also find all of these conversations in video form and also the sources, and you can click through there, and you can support us there if you so wish, and you can sign up for our weekly email there. And you'll get all the details of Turning Towards Life Live, as well as all of the weekly sources and all of the recordings. So I really want to just say that before we begin, because it's a way to stay in contact with us and this conversation and with everything that's being born of it now and in the future. So it's lovely to say all of those things and to think that these words might be enough of an invitation for any of you to go and have a little route around and see if it's something you'd like to join us for. And Lizzie, thank you for bringing a wonderful source to us, which I'm very excited about getting into conversation with.
Thank you, Justin. Hi, everyone. So, Justin, you'll know that I'm away this week with my sister, and our families are kerfuffling around together in Scotland. And I wanted to bring a source that Holly had suggested to me. Holly's my sister. And when I looked for it online to find the source, the poem that she had brought to me and the one online were like really different energetically, and it didn't suit anymore. And I said, oh, but I really like the feeling of that poem. And she said, well, why don't we write one each and see what they're like? Anyway, this is her version. I also have my version. But, you know, as the good old inner critic would have it, I think hers is better than mine, so I'm reading hers instead of mine. But maybe I'll bring mine another time or something. But I think Holly's writing is just so beautiful, and I loved reading, feeling, and wanted to bring it here. So here we go. This is Holly's poem called The Singing Bird, and it goes like this. I have 100 ways of keeping the singing bird pushed down, hidden, anaesthetized, comfort numb, silenced. but I've learned how easily she can break free and sing anyway. She sneaks out through the cracks that get made by laughter and poetry and art and honesty and dancing in sunshine. I wonder if you know the ways you keep your singing bird quiet, and if you know how to forget yourself so that she can sneak out and remind you of the song you've always wanted to sing.
So, Lizzie, I'm guessing this as yet unpublished poem by Holly is going to get published by us. And
yes.
if any of you want to read it, read along with it in the show notes to the podcast, in the email that will come out on the turningtowards.life website. This is week 410, so you can head towards that and see it there. And this is with thanks to Holly. Well, to both of you, Lizzie, I'm how fantastic that there's a Lizzie Wynn version of this, expression of this, floating around somewhere that maybe we'll get to see at some point. From Holly Holden, The Singing Bird. I have 100 ways of keeping the singing bird pushed down, hidden, anaesthetized, comfort numb, silenced. But I have learned how easily she can break free and sing anyway. She sneaks out through the cracks that get made by laughter and poetry and art and honesty and dancing and sunshine. I wonder if you know the ways you keep the singing bird quiet, and if you know how to forget yourself so that she can sneak out and remind you of the song you've always wanted to sing.
Thank you, Justin. I'm always amazed how it feels to have something read to me, and how wonderfully receptive I can be without having to do the reading thing at the same time. And how much simpler it is for me to process when I'm just listening rather than reading at the same time. So thank you. I really felt that then, Justin. And I love this because I can feel the longing in me as you read this. I can feel the longing, that last line of the song that you always wanted to sing. There's something, it points to me to something that's always already and ever has been here. And yet there's 100 million ways that it gets covered up or pushed to the side or forgotten, or there's 100 stories around why I couldn't do it or why it's not for now. And I think Holly is one of those people in my life who really reminds me of the, and stands for in all of her work and life and being, stands for this song coming forth. And so maybe we'll get to my poem one day, but part of it, one of the verses is about Holly watching me sometimes when I've been painting and saying, my God, you should be doing this more. And I have this story of like, oh, well, I'm not a painter and I'm not a creative person and da, 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 da. And but she can see that when I'm painting, something different in me is coming forth that really matters. And so when she wrote this, I was like, yes, that's the thing. And it's elusive, and it's not concrete, and it's not visible, and it's not right there staring at me, but it is in the much of the time kind of in the shadows, this kind of creativity, this wish, this longing for this song to come forth. And it takes invitation and like-hearted humans around me to bring it forth. And I think it matters because if I never got to it in my life, it wouldn't be good. I could feel like it's possible to ignore it forever, but it's something to do with why I'm here and what being here is for. And so it's very moving to me, but also stirring and kind of confusing, and has some regret in it, and like, oh no, I should always be turning towards this or something. It has that depth of longing in it. And in some ways, maybe I am. And in some ways, maybe it is easy for me to forget myself and just be in it. And so it's a question of all the ways I stop myself, but also all the ways I'm already doing this and letting that in as well.
I was really changed by listening to you, Lizzie, because where I started in response to Holly's words was wondering about, so wanting to say, yes, each of us is a one-time event. There's only ever going to be one person just like you and then one person just like me. And so part of the question about what we might bring is what is to be in the inquiry about, well, what's mine uniquely to bring? What is mine uniquely to say? What's the unique experience that comes from this body and this place in the universe that I am and the particular history that I am and my loves and my cares and my wants and all that? And I think that's important. And then I started to catch on as you were talking to one of the paradoxes here is Holly's invitation is very generous and straightforward. There's something that wants to sing. Let's wonder about what keeps it down and what has her come out. But there's also a version of this that can get kind of quite be another version of sort of pushing or self-criticism or self-blame. Oh no, I haven't got my unique, my singing bird isn't out in the world. There must be something wrong with me. I must be doing something terrible. And that just piles on the difficulty, I think. So it can become a sort of a standard to reach for rather than an inquiry to be in. But I'm right alongside Holly in this, which is I think that there's something, because we're not machines, and also because we have reflective consciousness and we feel and we care, because we're beings to whom things matter, it matters to us that, rightly, that we get to share of ourselves and bring of ourselves, or even know ourselves. That might just be enough. Painting might be something nobody ever else sees. It might be something in which we find something that's true in us. So all of that, but then I started to catch on as you were talking about, I think you said something like, maybe I haven't done enough of this yet and I should be doing more of it. And I started to catch on to, at the same time, there is another sort of parallel version of the question for me, which is, so I love writing. I write a lot. And I know that, and I love walking, and actually walking is one of the places that I find this, and I walk a lot. But I also know that if I only wrote and I only walked, a whole lot of other set of concerns and cares in my life would never get addressed, like the people I love the most, or being able to support the family that I'm raising, or, you know, any of those kind of things. So there's inevitably a tension and a trade-off between my creative practice, and my walking practice is a creative practice for sure, and the day-to-day engagement with all the other things that I do. So I started wondering, as you were talking in, I don't want to sort of, I hope that this is in a way sort of honoring what Holly's bringing us, which is also to wonder, I sort of got thinking, well, so what's my way of doing the dishes? Mm. And what's my way of parenting? And what's my way of loving? And my way of being a friend? And my way of being someone who works? And my way of someone, like, I think that the singing bird has a place in all of that. And that actually fills me with quite some measure of joy, because I realize that in all the places where I do those as a kind of way of showing myself that I belong in the world of others and I can do things well the way that's my particular pattern, instead of comparing myself with other people all the time, I think that there really is a question about what happens if I soften myself enough that there's something that I am at heart can come out in everything, not just when I'm writing or walking, but when I'm speaking and laughing and doing the dishes and doing very boring things, or, you know, answering my emails.
Yeah. As you were talking, I'm remembering, Justin, as well, like in the original poem, the feeling that Holly and I both had was that it was also a poem about the vulnerability of being that one who we are. and seeing what it is to bring ourselves forward in a way, in relationship, in life, in the forest, as this particular set of longings. And what is it to be heartfelt in the world, and to kind of like, what if the singing bird is just being real? What if the singing bird is just telling it like it is, and listening to one another in each other's kerfuffleage and straightforwardness about how vulnerable it is to be us, and how soft we might be, and how undefended we can be, and feeling this invitation to allowing what's really true to be here. And I think, you know, I know, Justin, that that's a really big part of our work, both in our inner lives, but also in the world, is being a space where people feel like they can turn up as whatever is here, and that's just fine. And we will open our eyes and our hearts and ask to be told more, rather than, I don't know, making a face or turning away or making a comment that makes somebody feel like what they said was weird or something. You know, we'll be curious and we'll be interested. And I think that's, you know, where we normally get to in all of this, in a way, is that in us, which then allows others to understand and feel and sense and respond to this inner singing bird. It all feels suddenly kind of non-separate. And I love that about what we do. And in the spirit of that, I want to tell everybody who's listening, and I don't think I can show you on the video, but where I am, my computer is teetering on a really very unattractive upside-down bin so that I can do Turning Towards Life in this accommodation that I'm in. And things like that, for me, where anyone listening here, Justin, gets to know that this is not some kind of glamorous studio where we have all of our soundproof walls or something, but my children are hooning around in the corridor outside, which I don't know, maybe people can hear, and my computer's sitting on a plastic upturned bin, and my life is a kerfuffle. You know, that my realness, my being here in all of my messy glory is hopefully is intended to be a way of saying whatever your mess is completely welcome too, and that we don't have to keep up appearances, and we don't have to be someone that we think we should be or that we feel the world has told us that we need to be, but we can actually tell the story of what it's like to be me right now. And that's really okay. Like, it's all okay. If it's part of life, it's okay for that story to be told. And I think that for me isn't separate from the singing bird, in that the more I guess I feel in touch with my singing bird, the easier it is for me to be whatever mess I am in the world and feel really robust and confident in my capacity to be with it and to hold it and to say, yes, it's here, and it can be here in you too. And my contactfulness doesn't go anywhere. My bottom on my seat doesn't change. We can sit in something together and be in it together. And somehow the singing bird is that which gives me a depth of kind of confidence and faith, because it feels that substantial and real to me about what life is and what being here is, that I can be with all of this, and I can be with all of the difficulty and the pain and the trauma and the horribleness, as well as the joys and the wonders and the extraordinariness and the curiosities and everything, because that singing bird feels like it's real and reliable, and my who-ness, if you like, feels available to me. And those practices that Holly was listing are poetry and art and honesty and sunshine, and the things that have me kind of forget all the patterns of neurosis and worry and all that stuff, but just allows me to be genuinely present here, contactful, open and curious and open-hearted and open-eyed. Those things are the things that facilitate my being, both with my own process and difficulties, but everybody's around me as well.
Your what you're saying has really been stirring something in me, Lizzie, which I'm going to do my best to express if I can, because it seems like there are layers and layers and layers of this. And really where it starts is what I heard from you, and what I'm feeling strong agreement with you about, is that there is something in each of us, that the unique point of Lizzie-ness or Justin-ness or something that comes from being the ones who we are, that you called you. I think that's maybe that's what I understand when you talk about the who-ness of a someone. And it's very important and it's very sacred. And one of the troubles that we have is that we live in a world full of culture and language and story, which both supports us and makes lots of things possible. But we humans are very, very prone to, Lizzie, let me make sure that you are in line with my way of seeing the world. So I might try and say, well, you can't do this and you can't do that and you can't be like this, Lizzie, and you have to be like this, sort of all of that expectation, which can both be for good and for ill. And also we internalize that ourselves. So very quickly, this singing bird that we are gets set aside in favor of, am I doing all right? What will people think? Do I belong? Do I fit in? Am I allowed to be this kind of person? And we even take on goals that are given to us by our culture that really may not suit us. You know, we look around us and we go, well, I should live this kind of life, pointed in this kind of direction. And we miss this sacred something inside of us, which, as Holly points out, is never far away. I mean, I think that's the beauty of Holly's poem, is how close this is, this something often is. But we can live a whole life in separation from it, trying to get away from it, not paying attention to it. And I had a very tender experience just this week. So we're away as well. And we're somewhere near lots of beaches, and we drove to a very, very beautiful, also very popular beach, because it's very, very beautiful. And as we were sitting in the queue of cars to get out of the car park, all these people are driving past in their cars. And I suddenly got reminded, as I looked at each of these people, the first thing I noticed was that it was very, very easy actually to have judgments about people. I could look at someone's face or how they dressed, and all of a sudden I've got a whole story about them. It might be an appreciative judgment, or it might be a critical judgment, but basically it's a whole load of stories about that person. And then I could feel in me each one of those people, regardless of what story I've got, based upon this brief glimpse I get as they drive past, they are this. They have their own singing bird. I didn't have this language because I hadn't seen the poem yet at this point. They are a unique, irreducible, one-time, sacred something looking out at the world, life looking out at life. And I noticed how easy it was to reduce people to a sort of a story or a surface or something, but also how easy it was, if I took a breath and just looked with eyes of wonder, to see that they were this in Holly's poem. And then as I did that, I could feel that in me too. Like, that's what we all are, regardless of what life we've made so far, regardless of what's happened to us, regardless. And the feeling of it reminded me that not only is it important, I think, for some of the reasons we've been talking about, is how it matters to each of us in our lives that we keep making contact with us. It matters for our own experience. It matters for what we bring. And the world is a really, really different world if we do what you were just saying we do in our work, which is that we turn towards that in others and welcome it and want to be affordances for its the presence of this tender, precious, creative uniqueness. Like, because the extent to which I relate to other people as a sort of surface set of stories and expectations, and inevitably to myself in the same way, is the extent to which I actually make the world shallow, mechanical, hollow, as opposed to, my goodness, there are 8 billion other people who are this. What a situation that is. Like, we ought to pay attention to it. it really, really matters that around us, or in my little family, there are six of us in the house at the moment. There are five other ones, each of whom is what Holly's talking about. And what am I doing and how am I living, not only that allows mine to be expressed, but which is in affordance for and care towards the mattering of this in other people. Now, that is what we've dedicated that is what our work is, Lizzie, which is such a joy, and it's what this conversation is. But I'm feeling afresh how much it matters in how we humans conduct ourselves towards the world and towards one another, as well as towards ourselves, as well as to the kind of freedom that Holly's pointing us to. It's like the mirror side of it, or the necessary complement to it.
Mm. What happens in me, Justin, as you're talking, is a kind of, oh my gosh, I'm not sure I'm big enough. You know, that we've said 100,000 times before, it feels like about each one of us being like a universe. And then when I multiply that by whatever that billionness you just said was, I'm not sure I definitely can't get myself around that. You know, like I just think, oh my gosh, it's so, the world is profoundly complex. And I know literally nothing of it, is how I feel. I know my part of it, and I feel my part of it, but it's so huge. And so there's a kind of, I don't know, maybe, I don't know if this is the right word, but it seems to me anyway, like a kind of an excellent kind of belittling that happens. Like maybe a right sizing of myself and my problems and my... Because as soon as you say that, I'm like, oh yeah, what feels big to me here is probably most definitely not big in the scheme of that billionness and that universe of each person being a universe. And so it's like a dance of feeling up my own bigness of me and all of the nuance of me and the wonder of me and the issues of me and the annoyingness of me and the brilliance of me and all of the things. And then that also being right-sized right now in the context of something ridiculously vast and huge. And I can feel a kind of an oscillation between having my arms intentionally around the whole world, but that then motivating me to have my arms very well and healthily around that which I can actually touch and be with here. And that moment, Justin, of you seeing those people in the Cornish car park. And yesterday we were out, it was a lovely sunny evening here. So we went to the local pub and we were in Scotland and there was a load of French people. And I kind of thought, oh, French people in this completely random, it's quite obscure part of Scotland that we're in. And I just had this moment of, oh my gosh, like we're all uniquely ourselves, bringing all of our different cultures to wherever we are. And the difference between us all is vast, and the sameness all about us all is vast as well. And the more we get into it, the more in terms of these conversations, this feeling of unsurety keeps being deepened in me. Like I'm really not sure about anything anymore. I was wandering along the beach the other day going, I don't know how to live. I don't know what's right and what's wrong. And I don't feel very opinionated about things anymore. I mean, there might be big opinions of let's not hit each other and things like that, like that are very important. But in terms of how to live and how to be and what the right way to do something is, or I just feel like a gentling of all my judgments, I think. Like I can't rely on them at all, because they get blasted apart very easily, like you were saying about those people, where you look at them and you have all these judgments and then all of a sudden we remember that they're a vast universe or something. And then you go, oh, well, none of that now seems relevant. I just thought that you were stingy or pokey or mean or something. It's like that just pales into its insignificance. And I think, Justin, this is also part, for me, the point of Turning Towards Life and why we have this intention for other people to join us in the conversation. And I know people join us anyway just by listening and being here, because then those conversations extrapolate into the world, into their world and everything. But this whole Turning Towards Life live intention is, it really feels like a big gift to be receiving these every week, these expansions into wonderings and reflections and the feeling it brings. And I really feel like offering that more widely into the world in a very practical way. This feels so good to me as this human being that I really want to extend that to other people. And when I sit with you, Justin, and I'm with these sources, it does feel like every time we get into a different territory that I know myself in a whole different way. That as we sit here, and you've often mentioned, you know, these practices in different cultures and different religions and paths and everything, where we have a thing that's between us, the source, and then we each reflect. I really get why it's an important practice. And of course, I didn't start this in that spirit. It's grown into something in me where I'm like, oh, this isn't just like sharing with the world who we are or something, and it is a creative expression, but it's not only that. It's actually a genuine process for me of being here and knowing what it feels like to learn and the gloriousness of learning. I feel like I sit here and I learn from you, I learn from the source, I learn from me, I learn from life, I learn from seeing and feeling in a different way. And I'm feeling just an upwelling of gratitude for that and how it opens and changes me every week. And you said 410 episodes, like we had, you know, it's a long time now of keeping on opening and wondering and being curious and being changed and softened. And I'm in this moment feeling extremely appreciative of that.
One small thing to add, which I think is in Holly's poem and is certainly in the words that you just spoke, Lizzie, this whole arc of your speaking about right-sizing and finding how much we know and how little we know about other people. It struck me two things. One is that it's really important to recognize how vastly different our lives can be and our inner worlds can be, and to not assume, you know, one of the mistakes is for me to assume that you are me, like me, like you're another me. And at the same time, there's something of me and you and everyone that is also the same thing. Like the same something looks out, the same kind of consciousness looks out. So we are both incredibly alike one another. And then also, because of the lives we've lived, incredibly unlike one another. And that's a wonderful tension to be in. But more than that, you talked about the process of this conversation. And I think we are not fixed things. We're unfolding processes all the time. And that what Holly's poem, what it seems to me that the singing bird is an invitation into, is not a fixed thing that's always the same that we're trying to discover, but actually a way of engaging in the unfolding process of being a living, changing, flowing some presence that we are. And that's another thing that happens for me in this conversation, these conversations, is that I get to unfold because of the attention I'm bringing to my own process and to the attention I'm bringing to you and the attention I'm bringing to the source between us and the paying attention and seeing what it is to soften and open. And that is very akin, I think, to the when Holly says, I wonder if you know how to forget yourself enough so the singing bird can sneak out, when we're not trying to keep ourselves the same. You know, I am this kind of person, I have to be this way. There's a chance for this to happen. And I think I think our lives are deepened by it, but I think the world benefits from it. And that starts with, as you were saying, none of us can get our arms around the whole world. Actually, it starts with the particular lives we're in the midst of, whatever it is we're enmeshed in, whoever it is that we're enmeshed with. Everyone benefits when we attend in this way. So it's of practical benefit in a way too, as well as something sort of deep and meaning laden that we find this out and get to express it.
Thank you, Justin. I think it's our time to end, and I'm just filled with the wondering and the gratitude of what this is. And thank you to Holly for writing that poem and for being someone who's always in conversation with me just like this as well, learning all the time. Mostly they're in the kerfuffle of small children and crazy domestic shenanigans. So Justin, we'll be back next week with a source that you're going to choose. And just to remind everybody, you can go to the website, you can email us, you can do all those things, and we would so love to hear from you. And we'll see you next week.
Thanks, everyone. Bye-bye.